matter what people say, we got it going on. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats, to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope... See, I'm getting better with that. but I hope you guys had a wonderful week, and I hope that your weekend was good. I mean, the weather was pretty decent up here in New York City. We had threats of thunderstorms for Saturday, but I did not feel not one drop. But the weekend was pretty chill for me. Nothing crazy. It was one of my low-key weekends. I was actually complaining to one of my friends this morning that, you know, people think that I'm always in the streets, but the issue is that everybody seems to lump their events all on the same damn day. Like yesterday, I did not have any real events. Like, I went to church. I wasn't feeling too well. I was supposed to go see, you know, my goddaughter and my sister. That didn't necessarily happen. But in terms of, like, events, like, I didn't have any events planned yesterday. I went to church. I came home. I fell asleep. And that was my weekend. But then there are weekends, like, I have the weekend of September 7th. I have literally three events going on that day from morning to night. And then my friend, you know, sent me a message about a fourth event that she was trying to sneak in there. And I'm like, you know, there are weekends where I have nothing to do. And then there are weekends where I'm literally in every borough. I'm in different states. Like, it's ridiculous. But this weekend was low-key. I hope you guys had a really good weekend. I mean, I was hoping for a beach day today, but that didn't really happen. I think that it's official. Summer is practically over. I mean, today is what? It's August, what, 17th, is it? And I mean, I feel like summer is over. I know the official start of fall is September 21st, but I feel like, I don't know, unless we get another really, really hot day here, I really don't see any more beach days, at least up here in the Northeast. I don't really see any more beach days coming. I feel like everything is starting to wind down. I think I went to one rooftop shindig in the beginning of summer. Summer was really weird this year, and it went by so fast. Like, I had all of these plans, and I'm sitting back wondering why none of them happened. So, I don't know. For those of you who, you know, who are able to squeeze in some more summer fun, do so before, you know, fall comes. But I don't know. It was just, I don't know if it was just me, but I feel like it was a weird summer. It went by way too fast. Nothing was accomplished. Nothing was really done. No real fun was had. Although people were talking about hot girl summer, you know, all throughout the summer. I'm really not sure what they were doing. But according to recent reports, though, Megan Thee Stallion has now declared fall hot nerd fall. So I'm looking to see what all this is going to be about. I'll definitely have one of my guests on the show, probably in the beginning of this hot girl fall, just to talk about what hot girl fall, no, not, I keep saying hot girl fall, hot nerd fall, what that's about. My spidey senses are telling me it just has to deal with maybe buckling down and really getting into the books and really, you know, doing what you got to do. In these streets. So it sounds like there's not much fun to be had with hot nerd fall, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm going to keep my ears to the streets with that one. So today's show is going to be some DM conversation. So a lot of you all send me different articles, different posts, different memes, different things that you think, you know, I should talk about at some point on the show. And so today I'm going to go through some of those DMs, some of the recent happenings, you know, that was, I guess, going all over social media. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, the Jay-Z NFL deal partnership that, you know, has been, I guess, I don't know, going rampant all over the internet webs. I'm also going to talk a little bit about some local stuff. So the Guyana Times news article that was, in my opinion, probably some of the most disrespectful shit that I've seen in a while from the Caribbean community, just talking about, you know, Haitians and the influx of Haitians coming into Guyana with their diseases and whatnot. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and how the New York, you know, some of the New York legislature and other activist groups have really tried to stand up against this form of national origin discrimination. People say racism. They like to throw racism all over the place. We're all black here. But national origin discrimination is really what it is, because you have the Guyanese discriminating against the Haitians. So we're going to talk about that. Also going to talk a little bit about the Child Victims Act and some of the recent happenings with that. So that's going to be some of the topics on today's show. But before we get into the meat of the show, you know we have our preliminaries. So it is now time for our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hopping on fleek, you lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word of the week is lamia or lamia. It doesn't really say what the pronunciation is, so I'm just going to go with lamia. So lamia is a girl that has a great personality, is beautiful inside out, and is really caring. She would light up your day even though hers isn't going well. She is rare and one of a kind, like her name. In the past, there was a terrible storm in her life, but eventually that storm ended and everything got better. She was a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Example, that girl is a lamia. Now, I ain't never heard this word used toward anybody. I've never even heard this word, period, in my entire life. And judging from the author, or whoever submitted this word, Jungle Hun, I'm assuming it might be somebody of the white persuasion. And maybe they use this, maybe this is a word that's used in the Midwest. I don't know. I guess Urban Dictionary is equal opportunity. So I don't know. I guess not all of the phrases in, you know, Urban Dictionary will actually apply to the urban, I don't know, population. But I've never heard this term before. I mean, it's sweet. It's cute. I really don't know why it's in the Urban Dictionary, though. But if you've ever heard this word before, if you've ever used it before, definitely let me know. Send me a DM, according to RP, on Instagram, or send me an email, according to RP at gmail.com. Let me know if you've heard this word, if you use this word. I'm starting to compile a list of phrases and terms that I've never really heard of before, and that I've, you know, pulled my, you know, my social group and social networks, and nobody has heard these words before. So I'm really, you know, I've talked about this several times. I've brought it up several times on this show. I feel like I really need to question Urban Dictionary's process of including words, because some of these words, I just don't understand. Like, is it a slow week? Did we not get that many submissions in? Is that how this phrase made the cut? Like, it's very puzzling to me, to be honest. I'm not really sure. So that is the word of the week. So now going on to my favorite portion, or one of my, I keep saying, it's not really my favorite anymore, because I feel like the whole show is my favorite. But I feel like one of the most important segments of the show is the big up of the week. So it is now time for our big up of the week.
Watch it. When you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up.
So this week's big up of the week goes to the New York State Legislature. I know. they receive a lot of my big ups because I feel like they do so much. I don't know. Recently, there's been so much good coming out of the New York State Legislature. But namely, the big ups really, you know, go to these three women who have come out and, you know, have really put themselves out there with respect to the Child Victims Act. So Assemblywoman Rodney Spichot, Senator Biagi, Assemblywoman New. These three women have really put themselves out in the forefront and have shared their stories of sexual abuse. And I mean, for me, I find that, you know, when you are a victim of childhood sexual abuse, you know, it's really difficult as an adult sometimes to even really address the trauma, right? Because when you're a child and when these things happen to you, oftentimes, you know, I think for the most part, children, we kind of just suppress it. We try to move on with our lives and it is what it is. You know, if we have triggers, if we have flashbacks, if we're tormented by the past, like we kind of just deal with it. Some people might go to therapy, whatever, but we kind of just live with it, right? We don't really necessarily come out and speak up on it. Sometimes we don't even tell people that we're victims of childhood sexual abuse. But with this Child Victims Act that was actually passed in January of 2019, there's been a lot of work. There's been a lot of work specifically with this particular issue of childhood sexual abuse. And so it's really interesting when I was reading up on this, you know, New York State apparently was one of the worst states for child sexual, you know, for victims of child sexual abuse. And for years, I think either a decade or decades, New York State has been trying to pass this Child Victims Act. But organizations such as the Catholic Church, the Boy Scouts of America, Girl Scouts of America, and such have pushed back on this bill, and it's been denied, you know, time and time again until January of this year, 2019. And, you know, the reason for the pushback, of course, is these organizations don't want to be put out there. They don't want to be embarrassed by these victims now who are now able to come forward and bring forth lawsuits against them. They're trying to spare themselves the embarrassment. But at the end of the day, you know, it's really shame on them for allowing this type of abuse to happen to children, you know, for years. Like, it's not even a secret. Like, people know, you know, that a lot of these organizations, not everybody, of course, we don't want to go out and say everyone that was part of these organizations were sex abusers. But it's hard for me to believe, though, that even if they weren't the abusers themselves, that they weren't aware that this type of abuse was not going on in these institutions. But alas, the Child Victims, you know, Act has been passed. And now there are many more changes with this. So a little bit about the, you know, the Child Victims Act, right? So previously, a victim of childhood sexual abuse had up until the age of 23 to file a lawsuit against the institutions that allegedly, you know, abused them, right? But now they have up until the age of 55 to be able to bring forth the lawsuit. Now, I can't remember. I know I talked about this at one point on According to RP. I don't remember what the actual year, there's like a statute of limitations with this. But for those of you out there who have been victims of childhood sexual abuse, and you know who your victim, who your accuser is, you know who the perpetrator is, and you want to seek justice by bringing forth a lawsuit against them, consult an attorney. If you don't know where to find an attorney, you know, you can call up Safe Horizons or go to safehorizon.org, or I believe they have a number, 1-800-621-HOPE, and they can assist you in finding an attorney to be able to push forth your claim. You know, it's interesting because I've heard a lot of back and forth with regards to this. There's like a look back window that was recently put into play. I think as of August 14th, last week, there's like a 1 year look back in which you're able to now, you know, come forward with this, with your allegations of sexual abuse. Now, yeah, a lot of people are saying, and I've seen some, you know, posts on social media, you know, why do people get that time period? Like, how is it fair that people, you know, have up until the age of 55 to now come up and bring forth these allegations? And I guess my reaction is, I don't understand where fairness comes into play here. Was it fair for the child to be abused by their camp leader, by their elder, by their priest? Like, was it fair to the child? Like, who was talking about fairness when these children were subject to sexual assault? And in many cases, you have children, you have adults who have taken their lives because of the abuse that they underwent. You have children, you have adults who are effed up in the brain, effed up, you know, in just dealing with society because of the trauma that they experience at the hands of people who are supposed to be like their caretakers and trusted institutions like the church and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts of America. So when people talk about, like, you know, why did they wait for, you know, to come out now and to say something now? I mean, unless you've experienced trauma, then you really don't understand, like, the effects that it has. You know, a lot of times, children especially, it's not until they become an adult that they're actually able to process what happened to them as a child. Why? Because most of our childhoods, we're trying to forget it. Even into adulthood, we're trying to forget that these things actually happened. We've blacked it out to the point where we might not even remember how horrible it was until one day you wake up from a cold sweat because you're reliving the experience. You know, the mind is a very powerful tool. It's one of those things where, you know, the mind, I think especially with children, it's like, it kind of, I don't know, it helps us cope with, you know, life, because it allows us to shut down areas of trauma. And we're able to move forward as if, like, nothing has happened. But the problem with experiencing trauma is that it will come back to haunt you, whether you like it or not. That's, I guess, that's the other interesting function of the brain. You know, there's certain things trigger people. Certain smells trigger people. Certain songs trigger people. And maybe you were able to go through most of your life without, you know, being triggered. But then it will be that one good day that song plays, or that scent of the nasty, you know, Obsession by Calvin Klein cologne that you smell, that reminds you of a time that wasn't quite right. And so, yeah, a lot of times people do wait 20, 30 years to come forward with allegations of sexual abuse, because that might be when they were able to process it. That might be the time when they were able to actually think about it without crying their eyes out, that they're able to confront what happened to them and are now able to talk about it and move forward. There's a lot of ignorance in the streets when it comes to this stuff. And I mean, I've seen a lot of it with the whole R. Kelly situation and whatnot, and people, you know, coming out saying, you know, why did these girls wait until now to say something against R. Kelly and all this extra stuff? And it's like, you know, sometimes you can't help but just say, I'm going to pray for these people. And, you know, it's one of those things where, I guess, if you've never experienced it, or you don't know anybody who's experienced it, maybe that's where your ignorance comes from. But needless to say, New York State is making great, you know, strides and waves, or whatever, you know, however the analogy goes, to really address this issue of childhood sexual abuse. I think it's also that whole push for, you know, mental health awareness in New York State as well, too. And the reason, again, that I really commend the three legislatures or members of the legislatures is because it's not easy to talk about sexual abuse at any age. You know, these are grown ass women talking about things that happened to them when they were 10 years old, 9 years old, 15 years old. And they didn't have to come out and say anything about it now. They could have kept their secrets to themselves and went about their merry way. But it's really important to share your stories. And that's one thing I definitely commend them for, is sharing their story, because now, you know, with them being in such positions of power, women, you know, in the New York State legislature, making laws, you know, trying to improve lives, now you have, you know, little girls or even grown-ass women such as myself that'll feel more comfortable coming forward saying, you know what, I too was abused. how can I help? How can I, you know, further this cause in helping young boys, young women, grown-ass men really deal with their trauma? Now, not everybody is looking to sue. And I know that I had looked at Rodney's, you know, she has a video, if you go on her page, on her Facebook page, but she was, I know she was on several news outlets, I believe it was New York One, there was the Errol Lewis show. She was on several different outlets, and I remember on one of them, one of the hosts asked her, is she going to sue? And she said she's not going to sue. But, you know, it's important, again, to bring awareness and to have these laws into place for those who do want to sue. Not everybody is interested in suing or bringing criminal charges against their abuser, even if they know who the person is. Maybe they've gotten to a point where they felt like that's not what's necessary for them, right? But for others, it is necessary for them to see that person, you know, be charged and arrested and accused and maybe put into jail for the things that they did to them when they were, you know, a child, you know, when they were in a state of fragility and a state where, you know, of innocence, right? Somebody robbed you of your innocence and potentially effed up your life, you know, for the rest of your life if you don't go get help, you know, from the therapist office. But it's one of those things where it's really important for this movement to continue. And I'm really happy that, you know, the Child Victims Act was finally passed in New York State and that there are look back windows allowing victims of child sexual abuse to move forward with their lives, whether it be suing or not suing, but the option is there. But you definitely want to take advantage of the window. So if you are, again, a victim of childhood sexual abuse, the time to act is now. If you know what you want to do, if you don't know what to do, seek the guidance of an attorney. Seek the guidance of these organizations such as Safe Horizon to talk about what happened to you. Even if you don't move forward in terms of litigation, but getting counseling is definitely key to any type of trauma. So that is my big up of the week. I, you know, again, commend them, New York State Legislature, for what they're doing and for all the organizations and for all the people out there doing what they need to do. Last week, we had Laura Jean-Jacques, who's the founder of Alignment Arts, on the show talking about her experience being abused, sexually abused as a child, and how she is using her platform to create a movement encompassing the arts to address and eradicate sexual, you know, childhood sexual abuse. So, I definitely had said that her event, her movement event, I mean, it's an event, but it's still a movement that's taking place called Belonging on both August 29th and August 30th. Definitely check out my Instagram page. I will be posting more, you know, more information about her event so you guys can get your tickets to that. So now moving on to the Womp Womp of the Week. This week's womp womp of the week. So it's kind of like, it's a womp womp, but it's kind of like there's a little humor to it in a sense. It's one of those like weird womp womps of the week. So I saw this article floating around. Well, I saw this topic floating around social media over the course of the week. And at first I thought it was one of those like, you know, fake news articles. And then yesterday, I saw that the Daily News actually wrote an article about this. So it's not fake news, it's real news, and I'm very disturbed and disgusted. So basically, according to the Daily News article that was posted on August 15th, there was this article was titled TMI, Nearly Half of Americans Don't Change Their Underwear, Daily News Survey Says. So the womp womp of the week goes out to all of you nasty asses out there who are not changing your underwear, your undies, your calzones on a daily basis. Like, what is going on here? So basically, the article goes on to say that nearly half of Americans have worn the same pair of underwear for two or more days in a row, according to a survey by the apparel maker Tommy John. Now, this gets even nastier, people. The article goes on to say that out of 1,000 people responding to an informal poll, 45% admitted that they had worn the same pair of underwear for 2 or more days, while 13%, listen up people, 13% said they wore the same undies for a week or more. Where do they do that at? I am so confused. So breaking this down even further, there was another study that showed that men were 2.5 times as likely as women to wear unwashed undies for a week or more. That's 20% of men versus 8% of women. So when women are out here talking about men are nasty, we're covering all fronts. We're not talking about you're nasty in bed. We're talking about you're nasty in general. Your hygiene is nasty. You are nasty. But it's funny though. I saw a post during the week addressing this topic. And again, I thought it was fake news, but clearly it's not. But it was a post, it was a Twitter post that people were resharing of a young African-American man who was asking for the breakdown of the statistics by race. And although I laughed, I agree with him because we know that these statistics, first of all, this survey, this poll was not conducted in a community of color. I can say that with absolute certainty. Now, are there Black people who are nasty out there? Of course. We know some of them. Some of them live in our homes. We know. But I will say for the most part, Black people are not nasty in this hygienic area, realm, as our counterparts, the Blancos, the Mundos. We know. And so, I mean, it's really scary for me because I feel like... I understand maybe you didn't get a chance to put your undies in the washing machine, but you couldn't hand wash your undies. You couldn't hand wash your boxer briefs and hang them in the shower, hang them in the bathroom. Like you're really walking around with yesterday's crust, last week's crust, going to work, engaging with the general public. Even worse, I'm thinking about the individuals who are actually engaging in sexual encounters with other people while they're wearing nasty ass, crusty ass underwear, thongs, boxers, or whatever the case is. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy to me. So I am curious to see if somebody will actually, you know, conduct another study and actually break it down by race. Because we know Black people, we don't engage in unsanitary activity the way like the white people do, right? So like, we're not kissing dogs in their mouth. We're not doing things like that. White people do that. Black people are not really doing that. If they are, we know who those Black people are, right? But for the most part, people of color are not kissing dogs in the mouth. And I would dare say that a lot of times people of color are not wearing the same underwear, the same thong, or the same boxer brief for more than a week. I would even say that we don't do it more than a day. But again, there are people that are nasty in general. But it just, I'm just like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And it's funny because another one of my friends posted something on Facebook asking, is this going to be a question that we have to ask on the first date? Like, how often do you change your underwear? Like, I feel like the list of first date questions, though, are just, I don't know, they're growing. And I feel like if this has to be one of them, like, humanity is lost. Humanity is lost. If this is a question that we're asking, humanity is certainly not lost. So that is the womp womp of the week. The womp womp goes to all of you people. Like, guys, seriously, if you were nasty before, let's push for a better 2019. Moving forward, if you run out of undies and you do not have an opportunity to run to CVS to, I don't know, wash your undies or whatever the case is in a washing machine, just because it doesn't touch the washing machine doesn't mean you can't wash it by hand. Wash your undies, wash your drawers by hand if you are not able to get it into a washing machine. Because this nastiness of walking around 2 days, 3 days, a week with crusty-ass underwear thinking it's okay, it's not okay, people. We need to do better. we need to do better.
Okay. So I said that I was going to talk about a couple of things on today's show. One of them being this Guyana Times article that came out, I believe it might have been a week ago. I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but apparently Guyana Times is a publication that comes out, and they made some very disparaging remarks against Haitians. So the article's title was called "Influx of Haitians into Guyana Raises Major Health Concerns." Now, this article was unauthored. Basically, what it looks like to me is the person who wrote it didn't want to have their identity out there because they probably knew it was very controversial to begin with and wanted to hide themselves. But this article came out and it basically went on to say that, you know, these statistics or these facts that are out in these streets, that Haiti is among the leading countries for HIV and cholera epidemic, and that this has basically bred serious health concerns after a large influx of its citizens, of Haiti citizens, arrived into Guyana in recent times. And so the article went on to basically, you know, describe some more, I guess, their issues, I guess, with the influx of Haitians coming in, right? So it also said that over the past week, reports suggested that masses of persons, I'm assuming Haitians, have entered the country through the Chetty Jagan International Airport, and where provisions were made for them to acquire accommodations at hotels and other boarding houses, predominantly within Georgetown. This was backed by photos showing masses of Haitians leaving the airport facilities in buses with their children and spouses. It went on to say, through interaction with Guyanese, it is expected that any communicable and non-communicable diseases will spread, raising concerns as to the stability of the health sector to cushion increased cases of these illnesses. The article continues, moreover, an epidemic could prove deadly for the small population. Now, I think the reason that many were very put off by this particular article is that, I mean, it's 2019, right? And this rhetoric resembles the same rhetoric that was taking place in the 80s when people were out here saying that Haitians were the carriers of AIDS, right? It's one of those things where I feel like to put out an article like this was very insensitive. I mean, we all have heard the reports of Haitians, and it's not just Haitians. I mean, people from the third world, they're traveling all over the place. You have influxes of, you know, Hispanics of all backgrounds in Guyana. I think there was also a report saying that there was an influx of Venezuelans that were coming into Guyana as well. So it's not just Haitians that are, you know, coming in at large, you know, rates as they want to characterize into Guyana. There are a lot of other countries that were pouring into Guyana as well, too. I mean, that's just what migration is. People leave their countries to go to other countries for better opportunity. And especially like these countries, they're all part of the CARICOM collective, right? So Guyana, Haiti, a lot of these countries in the Caribbean are all part of this CARICOM collective. And so there is an expectation in a sense that people are going to come from one country to another in search for better life. I mean, you have the Haitians going into Chile, you have the Chileans going into other countries. You know, like this is just what happens. You have the Guyanese coming into the United States. I mean, this is migration. It's just that people make it seem like it's different, like the form of migration is different in 2019, but it's really the same. The same way we had people pouring into the United States and pouring into some of these other countries like Canada or whatever, it's the same thing that's happening. The cycle is still the same. People are always in search of a better life. And with everything going on in Haiti, yes, of course you have Haitians trying to go to other countries to better their life. They might not be able to get into America, or they may not want to come to America and they want to go to another Caribbean-esque island, or they want to go to South America where it's warm or whatever the case is. I mean, there are so many different reasons as to why people choose other countries. But I think what was interesting too is within the reports, when I was actually reading it, you know, some of the breakdown in Caribbean life, that, you know, there are statistics that show that, you know, a good majority of these Haitians that, you know, came into Guyana also left Guyana. Where they went, I'm not sure, but didn't necessarily really stay there. You know, they came in, they either made whatever money they needed to make, or they found somewhere else that was maybe more friendly to them or whatever the case is, and they left Guyana. So it's not like all of these Haitians that they reported, you know, came in, have actually stayed in Guyana. I just find it, you know, I find it really interesting. It's one of those things where, again, I think I said it a little earlier, you know, people are always saying, oh, these racist remarks. It's not racist remarks. We're all black here. It's this national origin discrimination that's going on. The Guyanese either think that they're better than the Haitians. And so this article was not warranted. It was not warranted for them to spread this propaganda that Haitians are, because there is a large number of Haitians coming into Guyana to seek better life, that they are now bringing in with them HIV and all these other diseases, to the point where they have to kind of like, they're like warning the Guyanese population that there is this influx. So, you know, there's communicable and non-communicable diseases that can now be transferred if you are to encounter a Haitian. Like, what type of BS is that? You know what I mean? Like, what type of, it's just, I don't know, like, what is that? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me that people are still like this. But then again, I can't be shocked. I mean, we're here in Brooklyn, New York, and there's all this, you know, Jamaicans is better than Guyanese, Dominicans are better than Haitians, Trinidadians better than Grenadians. Like, there's all this, like, infighting. And you, at the end of the day, we're all black. When the white people look at us, when Trump is deporting everybody, Trump is not just saying, oh, well, let me deport the Haitians, let me deport the El Salvadorians. He's deporting the Guyanese, he's deporting the Trinidadians, he's deporting everybody. And so I feel like, as a collective, we all need to really, you know, bind with each other, support each other, and not... I mean, the fact that the person who authored this article couldn't even put their name out there and put their face out there for people to really see goes to show that they knew what they were doing. They knew that they were promoting this propaganda that was divisive and that was ridiculous. I mean, I don't even know what other word to use for it. And then the Guyana Times decided that they were still going to move forward and print out this article and put it out there. You know, it's like, these are the divisive tactics that are really destroying our Black Caribbean community. You know what I mean? And I feel like everybody's always trying to come for the Haitians at the end of the day. But it's like they forget that it's the Haitians that gave them the opportunity to even be, you know, where they are today, to be the free Guyana, to be, you know, the free I mean, there's a whole bunch of countries. That's like, I'm like at a loss right now. But there are so many countries that owe their independence to Haiti. All of the Black free Caribbean nations now, you're free because of Haiti. And so for you to now come out and, you know, engage in this propaganda to destroy the very hand that allowed you to even be who you are today is really ridiculous. And so I don't think I have anything more to say about this Guyana Times article. I think that most people who read it realize that this is some bullshit. I'm really happy that there are people out there who are standing up against this, you know, this discriminatory rhetoric, and have called for Guyana Times to pull the article. I'm not sure if they have as of now, but I know that there was calls for them to pull the article. I know that, again, Assemblywoman Rodney Bichotte and a couple other, you know, people from the community, not all necessarily being from the legislature, but other prominent leaders in our community have stood with leaders from the Guyanese community, and have called for the, you know, pulling of this particular article, and to call for solidarity within the Haitian community and the Guyanese community. It's really sad. And it's funny because my son is actually half Guyanese. So my son is a Haitian Guyanese walking these streets. And I think that it's really sad that you have this type of propaganda still being spread in these streets by other Caribbean nations. It's one thing if, like, I don't know, New York Times or whatever were to come up with some article like that. You know, we would still be calling out against them. But it's like, all right, we know it's the man. We know it's, you know, it's the white community probably trying to divide the black community, right? But here you have the Caribbean Guyanese community engaging in divisive tactics to, you know, to drive a wedge between the Haitian and Guyanese communities. And I think that it's really sad that things like this is still happening, that, you know, that these types of articles are being drafted, thought of, drafted, and disseminated into the general public. It's ridiculous. I guess my if I were to give another womp womp of the week, it would be the Guyana Times. I mean, y'all need to do better. Who's approving these articles? Who's allowing this to happen? You know what I mean? Like, let's be mindful of the greater mission here, which is solidarity and unity within the Caribbean and, you know, Caribbean-esque communities. Because Guyana is actually part of South America. It's not in the Caribbean, but it's, I guess, considered, you know, it's a West Indian community. And I feel like they're, like, we all just need to do better. Like, this should have never come out. It should have never happened. And I'm hoping that, you know, this noise that's being made, you know, with regards to this is enough to, I don't know who the editor-in-chief of the Guyana Times is, but I'm hoping that this sends a message to you that, one, you don't mess with the Haitians, that's number one. And number two, like, where is your integrity? Where is the journalistic integrity here? Like, what was the goal of this, really? So that's all I have to say about the Guyana Times. So now I got another DM with regards to Jigga Man Jay-Z and his, I guess, the recent article stating that he is set to acquire a large percentage, a large stake in the NFL. So I went between these two articles from The Atlantic and TheRoot.com to basically get, like, the intel on this Jay-Z situation, right? So, I mean, okay, Jay-Z now is in partnership with the NFL. A lot of people are shocked. A lot of people are appalled. A lot of people are tweeting and Instagram resharing articles with comments with regards to Jay-Z's partnership with the NFL, claiming that this is a blow to the movement, claiming that this is a disrespect and a slight to Colin Kaepernick, who at one point Jay-Z was supporting in terms of the movement and in terms of, you know, the social justice initiative and fight. He was a supporter of what Colin Kaepernick did, calling for the, you know, the NFL to reinstate him and all this other stuff. And he was also part of the quote unquote NFL Super Bowl ban. And in fact, he was rumored. Well, it's not really a rumor. I guess the interpretation is what's rumored. But he had even told artists such as Travis Scott and actually reprimanded him in a sense for even accepting the gig to perform at the Super Bowl, telling him that he should not be performing at the Super Bowl, right? And many people thought that, I guess, when he had instructed or when he had warned Travis Scott from performing, that he did so because it was in solidarity of Colin Kaepernick and the social justice movement. Well, it turns out in an article, and I think this might have been either in The Atlantic or The Root, that Jay-Z was like, when he told Travis Scott not to perform at the Super Bowl, it wasn't for anything but that he didn't want Travis Scott to be, I guess, second fiddle to Maroon 5, who had also performed. It had nothing to do with anything else. All right. So my thing is this. For those of you who are shocked that Jay-Z is now partnering up with the NFL, the very organization that he was condemning and, you know, speaking ill about, you guys have nothing else better else, I guess, nothing else to do, nothing better. Is it nothing else better to do? Yeah, I think that's the phrase. Nothing else better to do. Because at the end of the day, Jay-Z is a business man, right? Like, he is his brand. He does what he wants to do. He does what's best for him, Beyonce, and his children. That's that. You know, so I am not shocked that Jay-Z is partnering up. In fact, I'm like, wow, it took this long. I expected this or something like this to happen a long time ago. Because at the end of the day, again, Jay-Z is concerned about his business. Now, is this to take away from anything else that Jay-Z has done for the community over the years? No. I mean, he's donated money. He's given scholarships. He's been at the forefront of some of these social issues, trying to raise awareness, whatnot. I'm not going to sit here and knock Jay-Z. In fact, I am a big Jay-Z fan. I love Jigga Man. Aside from the fact that he and I share the same birthday, December 4th, you know, I grew up listening to his music. I've always loved his music. I mean, some of them, now that I'm an adult and I understand what half of them are talking about, a little questionable. But I'm not going to sit here and denounce, you know, Jay-Z and be like, oh, like, and act like I'm not a fan of Jay-Z. I am a fan of his music. But, you know, I have to separate the art from the individual. And that's what a lot of people fail to do. His art is great. Him as an individual, I don't even know him like that. You know, I don't know him like that. I just know that he has to be a decent person because he's born on December 4th. But also, like, you know, I've seen some of his philanthropic initiatives and whatnot. Now, if there was a hidden agenda behind them, okay, maybe, but people still benefited off of his hidden agenda. It is what it is. But I think that it's really a waste of time for us to sit here and write whole articles about how Jay-Z is a sellout to the community because he's working with the NFL and how, you know, he's you know, he's slapping Colin Kaepernick in the face, right? I think it's a waste of time to do any of that. I mean, so people are asking or people are, you know, wondering, okay, well, he's going to have a large stake in the NFL. Like, what exactly is his job duties? Like, what exactly is he doing with the NFL? Well, according to The Atlantic, Jay-Z and Roc Nation, they have a significant power in choosing now the performers for signature events, including the Super Bowl. And Jay-Z and Roc Nation will also help, and this part I found to be very interesting, they will also be helping to augment the NFL's social justice initiatives by developing content and spaces where players can speak about the issues that concern them. So it's supposed to be some sort of, like, I don't know, I guess open forum now, little round tables or whatever for the players to talk about their issues. I mean, that's great and all. And I feel like, okay, that's cool. But at the end of the day, how responsive is the NFL going to be to these issues and concerns? Maybe they'll be responsive if it doesn't, you know, hurt their money and hurt their pockets. But I feel like if it's any issue or concern that has any type of threat to their dollar bills, they will definitely not be addressing these issues and concerns that are aired out in these forums that Jay-Z and Roc Nation will be putting together. At the end of the day, I know I say that a lot, but I mean, bear with me. It's about money. It's about capital. We live in a capitalist society, and everything is money talks. You know, money will buy pretty much almost anybody. And Jay-Z is all about his money. If you guys don't know, now you know. If you guys are not aware of who Jay-Z is, he tells you time and time again in his music, in, you know, in the lyrics. Listen to the lyrics, read the lyrics. If you want to have, if you're confused as to this move, then clearly you're not a Jay-Z fan, or you don't follow the music of Jay-Z, because he's told you pretty much his entire career what he is about. Who he is about, what he does. You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, is this somewhat of a blow to the social justice movement? I mean, it's definitely some sort of a setback in a sense, in terms of the NFL now has like a blank slate. So it's kind of like, you know, when they say, oh, I'm not racist, my best friend is black. I mean, now I think what really went into this deal is a lot of things that went into this deal. But one thing I that's coming to my mind is, I mean, the Super Bowl, right? I know the Super Bowl had asked, and I think this either was, again, these are the two articles that I used, you know, either The Root or The Atlantic. So you can quote one of them to find out what I'm talking about. But it was, I think it was Rihanna and who else, Cardi B. A lot of these artists were approached to perform at the halftime show. And a lot of them declined because they were standing in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. In fact, there was a ban to even watch the Super Bowl. I mean, a lot of you all who claimed that you were in solidarity really were not in solidarity, because I was watching your Instagram feeds and everybody was posting about the Super Bowl and whatnot, having secret undercover Super Bowl parties like it's the 1920s and it's like freaking Prohibition era. But a lot of artists declined. And so, I mean, a lot of money was lost. Ratings were dropped. And I believe that now by having Jay-Z and Roc Nation as like the procurement of talent for the, you know, the signature events, namely the Super Bowl, a lot of artists now might still feel some sort of like, I don't know, hesitancy before saying no to Jay-Z and Roc Nation. So it's a very strategic move on the NFL to bring back, you know, the black, you know, listenership, the black, I don't know, the black patronage in a sense back to the NFL and NFL-esque type events. And I mean, I don't know who else would have done it, but it's like, you know, Jay-Z apparently rules the world, especially when it comes to the entertainment business. So if you have Jay-Z as a large part of the organization and is now like, I guess, the director, I don't know what title they're giving him, of, you know, talent procurement for events, then I mean, the black people are back on. And so now with this particular Super Bowl coming up, I would not be shocked if those who had allegedly boycotted or did boycott come back to watching, you know, the NFL. Because now you have Jay-Z talking about, well, what did he say? He had made some comment as to, you know, well, you know, we took a stand or whatever the case is. Like, not now, what's the next step? This is the next step. You know, now they're listening. They are not listening. They are not. NFL is not listening to us. They're listening to their pockets. They're listening to the dollars. They're listening to the green. They're not listening to us. Again, any positivity that comes out of this Jay-Z and NFL merger really has to deal with the money. So it's like they're going to get their money. And if by way of getting their money, there's a little positivity that gets sprinkled around, great. I guess we'll take that. I don't know. As for Colin Kaepernick, I mean, he still ain't back with the NFL, so I really don't know. I mean, it's like he took a stand for what he believed in, right? He took a stand, he took a knee to take the stand, right? For coming out, stepping out, and speaking against these injustices. You have Jay-Z now, who's going to be the leader of these roundtable discussions, creating content and creating spaces for men, I guess, of color, or people of color within the NFL organization to air out their grievances. But I mean, I don't know, like, what's the message here? Like, let's talk about it in private, in a huddle, in the locker room. Let's create spaces where the players can feel comfortable talking about their issues, but let's not do it in public, in which it will hurt the NFL's pockets. You know, like, I'm trying to wrap my head around what's really supposed to happen here. Like, I know why this was created. We needed to save some face somewhere. We needed to find a way to ensure that the black people would be back on the bandwagon and support the NFL. And let's find a way to erase this Colin Kaepernick disaster fiasco that cost us so much money, cost us so much bad publicity and whatnot. How do we regain focus within the communities of color? You bring in Jay-Z. But this whole thing about social justice initiative and creating spaces for players to air out grievances and to talk about their concerns, I think is bullshit to me, because you have Colin Kaepernick, who peacefully protested, and he's still being punished for his peaceful protest, the stand that he took against the social injustices that were happening within our community, the stand against the police brutality that is still going on in our community. And then in the same breath, we're saying that, oh, I'm partnering with Jay-Z, and now Jay-Z is going to create safe spaces for people of color or for the players of color, whatever, to talk about issues. You don't even have to read between the lines. You just have to look at the caption and already know, like, oh, I know what this is. You know, they're trying to clean themselves up, and let's use Jay-Z to do so. Many of you guys might have another opinion. You might have different opinions with regards to this. You might actually see this as a good thing, and that Jay-Z is the champion of all things black, and he will be the one to restore the people's faith and restore the faith in humanity and make the NFL see the errors of their ways. Maybe you might believe that. And if you do, good for you in that type of idealism. But that type of idealism is not realistic. It's not realistic at all. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I wouldn't waste too much time or effort on this Jay-Z NFL merger fiasco, whatever you want to call it. Jay-Z is a businessman. That's what he does. It's all about him and his family at the end of the day. And if the people benefit and reap some benefits from that, then great. But outside of that, I mean, that's what it is, folks. That's what it is. So that was basically most of the DMs. I didn't want to talk about all of them because I would probably be on here forever and ever and ever if I went through all of the DMs, the DM topics. There was another one that I kind of wanted to talk about, but might be a little too controversial. I might be putting some people's business out there in the street, so I tried to keep that one to myself. Maybe I'll find a different opportunity to bring that one up. But that is basically today's show, everyone. I want to thank you all for tuning in to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. Now, announcement. According to RP is now available on iTunes and on Stitcher. So for those of you who were tired of tuning in to the podcast form of According to RP on SoundCloud, you know, you're an Apple user. Some of you guys don't have that much space, that much gigabytes on your cell phone. So you were like, man, I don't really want to download SoundCloud. You know, now you don't have to. If you're an Apple user, you can now get According to RP on Apple Podcasts. Just type in According to RP. If you are a Stitcher listener, then you could tune in to According to RP on Stitcher. And so pretty much the episodes are usually live either a couple of hours up to, you know, I would say at least give 24 hours for it to be available on whatever platforms that you tune into your podcast. So SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes for now. We are looking into seeing where else we can put According to RP. So definitely subscribe, tune in, share, rate, and review. Your reviews mean a lot. So rate the show, leave your comments, all of that. And we are on Instagram. We're at According to RP on IG. If you have any show topics, any questions, concerns, feel free to slide up in my DM at According to RP. We're on, like I said, we're on Instagram. We're also on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And if you want to send me a more professional email, then you could send me an email at accordingtorp@gmail.com. And so with that being said, everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful week. Let's start off this new week strong. Let's, you know, minimize the drama in our lives. Let's try to be healthier. Let's try to do all things positive this week. And I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
Can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMS Radio.
time.
Download it now.